How is everyone doing? I'm seeing that some of you also came from Philadelphia and other places, New Jersey. Thank you all very much for coming. Very happy to be here in your midst. And so before you proceed, I would suggest, why don't you all come closer? And those who are sitting at the back, I can't see you. I don't know whether you can see me. Sangha. Association means... Come this way. Yeah, this is better. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihara.
No, no.
পরিব্রাজোপাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমৎ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ জয় বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজোপাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমৎ ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী ঠাকুর কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়, নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা গোবিন্দ কি জয়, সমবেত ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়, গৌর প্রেমানন্দে অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শিল প্রভুপাদ। নমো ওম বিষ্ণুপাদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদি হরি কৃষ্ণ। ভেরি হ্যাপি টু বি উইথ ইউ অল টুডে। আই নো স্যাটারডে ইভিনিং ইজ নট দ্য ইউজুয়াল টাইম দ্যাট ইউ কাম টু দ্য টেম্পল, Sunday evening at the time, and that you have taken the time, I feel very happy to be with you all, and I feel very thankful that you have taken the time and come here. A few weeks back, when Rambhadra Prabhu got to know that I was coming here, he requested me to come on Saturday because the new Sunday I am already scheduled to be and so he requested me to come on Saturday, and so I am here. And so now that we are here, what should we talk about? How is President Obama doing? Or should we discuss about what's happening in Taiwan, or how an aircraft landed today without the wheels in New York airport, or should we talk about something more important? Are you ready to hear about some more important topic? Actually, that's what our time is meant for. শিন্নতাং স্বকথা কৃষ্ণ পুণ্যশ্রবণ কীর্তন হৃদন্তস্থ অভুদ্রাণী বিধুনতি সুবিশতা। The topic of discussion should be something that just by hearing all the impurities of the heart gets washed away. That should be the subject matter of discussion for intelligent class of human beings. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting. Bhagavad Gita is presenting. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very, very wonderfully, very systematically reminded us about the goal of our life. Isn't it? Beginning with the understanding that we are not this body, we are a spirit soul. How many of you have accepted that fact? You are not this body, you are a spirit soul. Okay? And those who did not raise their hands, what should I conclude? How many of you think that you are your body? No. How How many of you think that you are not your body, but your spirit soul? Thank you. So, that is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That is where Krishna is beginning his instruction. Na jayate mriyate va kadachi. Who you are is that is never born. Na jayate. And he will never die. Who is that? You are somebody who was never born and who will never die. Who is that? The soul. That's you. Body is born, the body will die. And what is this body? Jantra Rurhani Mayaya. For a soul, it is a jantra. Jantra means a machine. So just as you drive a car, the car is a machine. But who drives the car? Does the car drive itself? No. Somebody has to sit there and drive the car. So are you the car or are you the driver? Obviously you're not the car. You drove the car. And you drove the car. The car couldn't drive itself. So that's why, that's what we have to understand from Bhagavad Gita, the first instruction. Arjun, you are somebody who is never born and who will never die. And nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuya, which means you are eternal. There was never a time when you are not there, and there will never be a time. And what is the characteristics of the soul? Nainam chinnanti shastra. The soul cannot be cut by any weapon. Nainam dahati pāda.
Sir Maharaj ki.
And it cannot be burned by fire. Nainam dahati pāda. Na chainam kleda yanto. It cannot be moistened by water, or it cannot be drowned in water, or it cannot be dried by air. So that is the nature of the soul. That is what we actually are. So, Krishna starts the instruction. You are not this world, you are a spirit soul. And then Krishna describes about the nature of the soul, and then finally Krishna begins to discuss or describe about his identity. Who is he? We are soul, Krishna also is soul. But are we the same as Krishna? Are we Krishna? No. What is the difference? The difference is we are spirit soul and Krishna is the supreme soul. Or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Super soul. We are tiny soul, Krishna is the absolute soul. So in this way, Krishna describes his nature. First he described about our identity, then he spoke about his identity. And then he spoke about our relationship. What is our relationship? What is the relationship between a spirit soul and super soul? Not just super soul is also one aspect of Krishna. Krishna is not just a super soul, but for the clarity, for the sake of clarity, we can consider that we are spirit soul, Krishna is the super soul. But actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan. And what is the goal of our life? The goal of our life should be Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam. To take shelter of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. What happens when you take shelter of Krishna? All our problems get solved. Taking shelter of Krishna, the benefit of that is all our problems will get solved. Do you have problems? Did you have problems? In this material nature, who doesn't have problems? Especially when you live in a place like New York. Like, life is so difficult here. Probably there was a time when you thought that life is so wonderful here. And many of you dreamt of coming to New York. Isn't it? But after coming to New York, what do you find? That's the material nature. That's another aspect. Material nature has been compared to a mirage. Illusory. Mirage. What is a mirage? Where do you see the mirage? Generally, you see the mirage in the desert. And when you are in the middle of a desert, then what happens? You become thirsty because in the desert there is no water. Whatever water you had in the water bottle, you drank it up. So now, you are thirsty. And then when you see a mirage, mirage gives you the impression of water. You are thirsty, and when you get to see water, then what do you naturally do? Don't you run after it? Thinking that there is water. And you'll be able to quench your thirst. But by running after a mirage, can anybody quench his thirst? Rather, the more you run after the more the mirage runs away from you. So material nature is like that. It gives us the impression of the possibility of quenching our thirst, satisfying our heart. Quenching the thirst of our hearts. But ultimately, what happens? The more we keep on running and running and running after the mirage. Never get satisfied. We think, oh, just I'll get it. Tomorrow I'll be happy. Until today I haven't been happy. But tomorrow I'll possibly be happy. But that tomorrow never comes. That tomorrow never comes. In one of my first meetings with Srila Prabhupada told me that for so many lifetimes we are trying to enjoy and you can see that we are still not satisfied. So just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. Just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. And then Prabhupada spoke for about half an hour explaining what this material nature is like and what we should do. So that is what Prabhupada is reminding us. Just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. And then Krishna is pointing out how to offer our life to Krishna. Very simple. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. What's the meaning of the word sharanam? How many of you know the meaning of the word sharanam? Okay, you tell me. Very good. Sharanam means sarana. Surrender means offer this life to Krishna. And how do you offer our life to Krishna? That also Krishna spoke very clearly in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakta mad jaji mam namaskar. Surrender to Krishna is not just, oh Krishna, I'm surrendering to you. In one hand we are saying, Krishna, I'm surrendering to you. And then we are doing all kinds of nonsense. No, that's not surrender. Surrender has a way. Surrender is a process. What is the surrender? What is the way to surrender? Manmanava. Think of me. If we want to surrender, then we have to think of Krishna. And there is, it's easy to think of Krishna. As I said, like we are in constant difficulties. So when there is difficulty, then we, if there is somebody that we can depend upon, then does it become difficult to think of him? No. So if somebody say in the middle of the night, which happens quite often in New York City, you are held up by a thug, right? Then what are you going to do? You think of finding somebody who can help you at that time. Generally, you think of a policeman. You call out to the policeman. So at the time of difficulty, you think of somebody who can help you, who can protect you, who can save you. Similarly, a child, he has difficulty. What does a child do? He calls out to the mommy, mommy, isn't it? So similarly, now that we are in a constant difficulty, if we recognize that fact, that we are in a very difficult situation, then it won't be difficult to remember Krishna. Call out to Krishna. Please, Krishna, save me. Please, Krishna, protect me. So, manmanabhava, think of Krishna all the time. Madhbhakta, how should we think about Krishna? With devotion, with love. There are different ways of thinking about somebody. We can think about somebody in a positive way and a negative way. What's the positive way of thinking about a person? Thinking about him with love. And what's the negative way of thinking? Thinking about somebody as an enemy. Either you can think about somebody with love or you can think about somebody with hatred. But we should never think of Krishna with hatred. We should think of Krishna with love. Madhbhakta. And in this way we should serve Krishna. And we should offer our obeisances to Krishna. That means we should respectfully surrender ourselves to him. So that is what Krishna is instructing us in Bhagavad Gita. Then Srimad Bhagavatam takes us on a higher dimension. Okay, now that we have surrendered to Krishna, now what should we do? We should more deeply think about our situation and Krishna's identity. That is what Bhagavatam is, the higher study. Now we got the preliminary understanding, but now we have to get into the higher studies. And higher studies is coming in Srimad Bhagavatam in a very wonderful way, by presented by different devotees of Krishna. Starting with Sukadev Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed to die in 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj is now considering, what should I do at this situation? I'm going to die in 7 days. What should I do? How should I take advantage of the 7 days that are left with me? And then, at that time, many, many exalted personalities assembled there. Many, many exalted personalities. All the sages, all the saintly personalities, all the exalted personalities, even from higher planetary systems, came. And they started to give him various instructions pertaining to Karmakanda section of the Vedas, Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, Upasanakanda section of the Vedas. But then came Sukadeva Goswami, a 16-year-old boy. As soon as he arrived there, everybody could see, just by his appearance, from his feature, from his bodily structure or shape, they could understand that he is an exalted, very, very exalted personality. Just by his appearance, they could recognize that he is a very exalted personality. And he was offered the exalted seat of a spiritual master to speak on. And Sukadeva Goswami started to instruct Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj had some questions, and pertaining to those questions, Sukadeva Goswami started to enlighten him. And then another aspect develops in Srimad Bhagavatam, at the beginning of it actually, even before that episode, the sages assembled, all exalted sages assembled in Naimisharanya. And they were inquiring from Suta Goswami. Like, what should be the goal of life? Now that the Kali Yuga has begun, a very, very dangerous time has arrived in this earth planet, and as a result of that, the condition of the living entities will become very, very precarious. Their life will have a very short span, and most of the people will be very lazy in this age. Prayanal payusa sabhya kalavashmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayu. Manda, they are lazy in this age. Sumanda matayu, their mentality is very crooked. Manda bhagga, they are very unfortunate. And upadruta, they are constantly troubled by natural calamity. They're constantly troubled by the condition of this nature. So that is the situation of the living entities in the age of Kali. So what they should do? And they told him that you know, because you have studied the entire Vedas under the guidance of very, very exalted teachers. So you know, please enlighten us. And then Suta Goswami started to describe what happened to Parikshit Maharaj and what did Sukadeva Goswami tell him. And this actually leads to various episodes. One of the first happening was the description of Kapil Muni's instruction to his mother Devahuti. Kapil Muni, a very, very exalted personality, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his father left home in the custody of his mother, and he at one point started to instruct his mother. His mother had some very interesting questions. And the basic question was simply, what should be the goal of life? Material nature has a very difficult situation. So what should you do to overcome this difficulty of this material nature? And Kopil Muni very wonderfully started to explain. One of the first thing he pointed out that the living entity is a conscious being. And the consciousness can be in two ways. Consciousness can either be in the material side or consciousness can be in the spiritual side. When our consciousness is in the material side, when the consciousness is in the body, and through the senses, and trying to enjoy the objects of the senses, at that time a spirit soul becomes conditioned. But when that consciousness is in the spiritual dimension, when that consciousness is projected onto Krishna, then that soul is liberated. That is how he begins his instructions to his mother. The point he is making is a spirit soul is conscious. Consciousness comes from the soul. Now the soul, the consciousness can either be in the material nature or it can be in the spiritual. When it is in a material direction, then we are conditioned. Then we are imprisoned. Then we are bound. But when the consciousness is in the spiritual dimension, then he is liberated. So we have two kinds of existence. We have the two options, two ways to be. Two ways to project our consciousness, material direction or spiritual direction. And then he points out that when does the consciousness come to the material direction? Due to the impurities arising from false ego. False ego. What is the meaning of false ego? False means false. False means unreal. Right? Unreal. The identity that is not real, that is the false ego. So what is that identity that is not real? It is bodily designation. I am this body. That is the false ego. False, wrong identity, ego. Wrong identity. I am this body. And when the soul becomes purified of the impurities, what are those impurities of the soul? Not the soul, actually the soul due to his misidentification due to his false ego. He is making very clear, the soul is not affected. His soul's involvement here is causing these impurities to this gross body and subtle body, mind, consisting of false ego, intelligence and mind. So when that misconception is there, that misconceptions manifest in the form of lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy. Sararipus, six enemies. These are the six enemies that we have. Lust. What is lust? Desire to enjoy this material nature. Lust means the desire to enjoy this material nature. Who enjoys the material nature? Through the body. The body is enjoying. How does the body enjoy? Through the senses. And Srila Prabhupada used that expression, sense gratification. Sense gratification. And this sense gratification culminates finally into what is the ultimate point of sense gratification? Sex desire. Sex desire. And this material nature is identified as a prison house of sex desire. It's a prison house where everyone is tied down with a chain of sex desire. So that's kama, lust. Maithunagara, prison house of sex. And that's why the way to freedom, that's why the Vedas are reminding us time and time again that if you want to get out of this material nature, if you want to get out of this imprisonment, then you have to conquer your sex desire. That's the goal of human life. And there's, from that stems all these other defects. Greed, anger. When our desire to enjoy this material nature is frustrated, then we become angry. Anger leads to illusion. Mind is completely bewildered. Can't figure out what should be done and what shouldn't be done. Illusion. Pride. And when our desires are fulfilled, when we find ourselves in a fortunate situation, we become very proud. I am so successful. Successful means all my desires are fulfilled. Whatever I want, I get it. That leads to pride. And that leads to envy. I become proud, thinking I am the best. And when I see that somebody else is better than me, I can't stand that. I say, why is better than me? He can't be better than me. And then there is an endeavor to push him down. That's envy. Intolerance to appreciate somebody's greatness. That's envy. I am the greatest, no one is greater than me. And if anybody thinks that he is greater than me, or if others think that somebody is greater than me, it's a mistake on their part. And the effort, the tendency to push him down, pull him down. Or even push him down, yes. So he is pointing out that what's the goal of life? From that it becomes very clear. The goal of life is to overcome these defects, impurities. What is the meaning of impurities? Impurity means the foreign elements mixed with foreign elements, undesirable elements. Water. Even if it is mixed with gold, it is impure. So water, pure water means just water, nothing else. If it is mixed with mud, it is impure. If it is mixed with acid, it's impure. If it's even mixed with gold, it's impure. It's not pure water. The pure water means free from all impurities, especially that are affecting its nature. So that's why these impurities has to be overcome. And Bhagavatam is reminding us how to overcome those impurities. And starting from that. Like, and what is the way? The simplest way is develop your love for Krishna. Then only you'll become situated in your spiritual identity, and automatically you'll become free from the impurities of this material nature. Just love for Krishna. And while we are developing our love for Krishna, we are not losing anything. Because love for Krishna is giving us everything that our heart wants. And in love, in developing that love for Krishna, there is no loss. Because Krishna is the dearest to us. Krishna is dearest to us. Therefore, if Krishna has everything, that will naturally enlighten us, enliven us. Like for example, simple point. As we went to that point, envy is the worst enemy. Envy is the worst enemy. If you have conquered envy, then you have conquered all other enemies. Out of the six enemies, since envy is the last one, when envy is conquered, everyone else is conquered. Right? Therefore, Bhagavatam at the beginning, it says, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. What is the qualification to enter into the domain of Srimad Bhagavatam? Nirmat Sar. Become totally non-envious, free from envy. When the heart becomes completely free from envy, then the heart is pure. Now how do we overcome this tendency of envy? We can overcome the tendency of envy with love for Krishna. Okay, this point we can consider. Say, somebody you love very much, say your son. The parents naturally love the son and daughter. Now, if your son and daughter does very well and everybody is praising, do you feel bad? Do you feel envious? Huh? Your son became first in the class and got a big reward. How do you feel? Why? Why you feel happy? Because you love him. Now, how to overcome this envy towards Krishna? By developing our love for Krishna. And when we love for Krishna and we recognize that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. Then will we feel any envy towards him? No. Therefore, the only solution to all the problems that we have in this world is to develop our love for Krishna. Then all the enemies will be defeated. Because Krishna is the supreme powerful. And it's not difficult to love Krishna. Because love naturally develops due to attraction. Don't you feel love towards somebody we are attracted to? Now who is all attractive? Krishna. What are the features of attraction? What are the different features of attraction? Beauty. Who is most beautiful? Wealth. Who is most wealthy? Fame. Strength. Knowledge. Renunciation. So these are the six aspects of attraction. And Krishna possesses them to the absolute extent. So Krishna is the natural object of love. Therefore, Krishna, what does the word Krishna mean? What does the word Krishna mean? all attractive. Krishna is all attractive. And when you become attracted to Krishna, then naturally all these impurities that are affecting our hearts will disappear. Lust will disappear. Heart will become free from lust. Simply by developing our love for Krishna. Greed will disappear. When you know that everything belongs to Krishna and Krishna is so dear to me, Krishna is my dearest friend, Krishna is my supreme father, and Krishna is my most beloved object of love, then where will be the room for greed? When we know, just the simple consideration, does a very rich man's son feel greedy about something? No. Why? Because he knows that his father already has that. Anytime he wants it, he can get it. Therefore, he doesn't have any greed. So similarly, when we develop our relationship with Krishna, recognizing that Krishna is the supreme proprietor and Krishna is the supreme controller, he's our dearmost friend. Therefore, greed will disappear. Anger will disappear. Illusion will disappear because we'll become situated in absolute reality. Envy will disappear. Pride will disappear. And we'll become a humble servant at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the simple process and the natural process of becoming free from material entanglement and become situated in our ultimate spiritual identity. Very systematically, Kapildev has given that instruction in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please read these instructions. Third canto, 25th chapter onwards, you will see what a wealth of wisdom has been presented. And this is not just Kapildev, he is not the only one. Then Maitreya Rishi gave instructions to Vidura. Another wealth of instruction, spiritual wisdom. Then finally in the 11th canto you will find Krishna is instructing Uddhava. In a way, that's the culmination of all the wisdom. Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. So Bhagavatam is such a wonderful storehouse of wisdom, transcendental wisdom. So please read Prabhupada's books very carefully, very attentively, very diligently. Don't become lazy. We are in Kali Yuga. So this is one of our shortcomings. Manda. We all are lazy. So we have to overcome our laziness. We have to find time to chant our rounds. We must make an effort to follow the four regulative principles. We must read Prabhupada's books very attentively. Srila Prabhupada gave us everything through his Bhaktivedanta purports. Due to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, Prabhupada's explanation, everything has become very simplified. The very, very complex wisdom has been very simplified due to Prabhupada's presentation. And that's why we have seen this Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. People from all over the world are accepting it. Why? Because they have found that this is the real wisdom. And this wisdom is going to relieve us from the bondage of matter. This wisdom will take us back to God. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?
Jai Shri Shri Radha.
That if you conquer much of the envy, that you conquered all the other five enemies. Yeah. So how is that?
Very good question. Because ultimately, it is all developing. Okay, I'll repeat the question. Maharaj's question is that you mentioned that when you conquer envy, then all the other five enemies are automatically defeated. How is that? So the way to conquer envy is by developing love formation. So now we can see when we develop our love for Krishna, then automatically we become situated in our spiritual identity. And as a result of that, all the propensities of the body will automatically disappear. And the root of all our problems are this body. Lust is to try to enjoy through this body. Right? The beginning point is actually that. Trying to enjoy through this body. Now, when we become situated in our spiritual identity, overcoming the influence of the body, then all these, say for example, lust will disappear. Another way of looking at it is that when we develop our love for Krishna, then love for anything else or attraction towards anything else will automatically disappear. Right? When we are attracted to the supreme attractive, why should we be attracted to anything else? Right? As a result of that, lust will automatically disappear. So now we can see that when lust disappears, then all that are actually stemming from lust will automatically uproot it. Greed, anger, illusion, and pride will automatically disappear. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Should we continue question answers? Yes,
thank you so much for the beautiful presentation.
Thank you.
Listen very interestingly. As far as I understand, love is everything you need. Love, to love Krishna, that's the ultimate thing. It sounds very easy, but then the thing is like, many devotees, after some time, they become a little bit discouraged because it does
Okay, very good. Thank you. So, Nrihari Prabhu's question is that you mentioned about love for Krishna, but it sounds very simple, sounds very easy, but oftentimes people find it to be very difficult to develop the love for Krishna. Now, how to achieve that, how to accomplish that? That is the question. Yeah. You see, love is something that automatically springs forth from the heart when you become attracted to something or somebody. Right? Like, you see, attraction and love are interrelated. Can we love somebody that we hate or that we are not attracted to? No. We'll develop a love for something that is attractive, right? Now, love for Krishna is very simple, very easy, because Krishna is all attractive, right? But the problem is, Krishna is all attractive, but we cannot perceive these attractive features of Krishna. right? Because with aprakrita vastu nahe prakrita gochar, spiritual objects are not perceivable by the material senses, right? Like with our mundane eyes, we cannot see the beauty of Krishna. Because with this mundane eyes, we can see only matter. But Krishna is not matter. Krishna is spiritual. Right? Similarly, with our intelligence or with our mind, we cannot conceive of Krishna's wealth, Krishna's strength. So that is the problem. Rather, instead of Krishna's form, when we see something beautiful in this material nature, we naturally become attracted to that. That's what happens with most of us. Some material object is more attractive to Krishna because we can perceive them with our senses. So now the difficulty is to perceive Krishna's attractive features. And that can be appreciated, that can be perceived, not by our eyes, not by our senses, but by our intelligence. Intelligence and through our hearing. So that's why we have to hear. That's why hearing is so important. Hear with faith, with Shraddha. With faith, that when sadhu speak about Krishna, he is not telling us a fairy tale. He is speaking about somebody who is absolute reality. With that faith, we have to listen to the sadhus when they speak about Krishna. And through the hearing from the sadhus, we will begin to see Krishna's beauty, Krishna's wealth, Krishna's strength, Krishna's fame, Krishna's wisdom, and Krishna's renunciation. And as we continue to perceive them through our intelligence, then the attraction will naturally develop. So the difficult part is actually to transcend our body's perceptions and come to the spiritual perception through hearing. That's why Shravanam is so important.
Thank you. By hearing, our intelligence is purified.
Yes. Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, thank you. Yes?
More and more you hear the pastimes of Krishna, more your intelligence will
More and more you hear about Krishna's pastimes, your intelligence will get. That's true. Good. Any other question? Yes? Okay, very good point. Very good point. The importance of chanting the Maha Mantra. Yeah, we discussed about hearing, and now comes the point of chanting. Okay, chanting the Maha Mantra. Why chanting of the Maha Mantra is so important? Because Maha Mantra is manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy in this age has manifested in the form of Maha Mantra. As it is, mantra is something that takes us to the spiritual realm. Mantra is not of this world. What is mantra? We use the expression transcendental sound vibration. Transcendental means of another world. Transcend, beyond this material nature. Beyond the material nature, there is a spiritual reality. And mantras are the sound vibration that came from the spiritual world. And of these mantras, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, is the greatest. Maha means greatest. This is the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all the transcendental sound vibration. This transcendental sound vibration mantra came down from another world, spiritual world, by Krishna's mercy. How does it come down? Krishna gives it, Krishna gave it to Brahma. Krishna gave it to four personalities: Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, and the Kumaras. And that is what constitutes four bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas. And this mantra is something, by chanting, we become elevated to the spiritual world. In simple words, we can say mantra is the means to go to the spiritual world. It came from spiritual world and it can take us to the spiritual world. So in that way, these mantras are actually manifestation of Krishna's mercy. And of all the mercy of Krishna, the greatest is the Maha Mantra. The greatest is Maha Mantra. So this mantra Krishna does not generally give in other ages. Appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna reveals it to us. So here also we can go a little deeper in that context. You see, mantras generally mean, when we say mantra, mantra means Gayatri mantra. Gayatri. Gayatri has three aspects. Gayatri has a bij or seed, then naam, the name of the personality who we are indicating by chanting that Gayatri, and nyas, the way to meditate upon the mantra. So these are the three aspects of Gayatri: bij, naam, and nyas. Every Gayatri will have that. Like there is Brahma Gayatri. The bij of Brahma Gayatri is Om. Similarly, there is Guru Gayatri. The bij of Guru Gayatri is Oing. The bij of, in this way, there are different Gayatris have different bij. Then comes the name of the personality whose Gayatri we are chanting. Say, for example, in Guru Gayatri, the address is Gurave, to the spiritual master. So that is the naam. And then nyas. So there are different nyas, like how to meditate, dhimahi, or prachodayat. These are the nyas. So every Gayatri must have these three aspects: bij, naam, and nyas. But the special feature of Maha Mantra is that in Maha Mantra there is no consideration of bij and there is no consideration of nyas. It is only naam and naam and naam. Right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Hare. What do you have? Only the name. Therefore, Harinam Mahamantra. Harinam, name of Hari, the Supreme Personality of God. That is Mahamantra.
Another Mahamantra is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Only Naam and Naam and Naam. So this is a very special mercy of Krishna. And just by chanting the holy name, offenselessly. When we chant the holy name, then we receive the mercy of the holy name. Who is received, they will be able to receive the mercy of Krishna. So, in one hand, we are making our endeavor by hearing, and we are receiving Krishna's mercy by chanting. You chant, and Krishna's mercy will come down upon you. But mind you, Shuddha Naam, not just chanting. Namakhar Bahiraya Naam Kohunaya. The syllables of name, the sound of the name appears, but that is not Naam. Because what is that? That is offenses. Aparad Shunna Huya Laho Krishna Naam. Become free from offenses. That's why there is so much emphasis to become free from these 10 offenses. And the worst offense is inattentive chanting. Actually, chanting means attentive chanting. So that's why out of 10 offenses, the inattentive chanting hasn't been considered. Because it has been taken for granted that when you are chanting, chant attentively. So make it a point to chant attentively. What is attentive chanting? Just hearing. Chant and hear. Hear and chant. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. So, today let's end the class with a little kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama. Namaste Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani.